But hi, my name is Chase Jackson. Some of you might know me from, I don't know, Chad sometimes tells stories about me because I am old, or at least older than you guys. I was actually here when Overflow was originally founded. I was with Ryan Olson's older brother, and believe it or not, I was in high school at the same time as Trevor and Andy. I know, they're old, right? That's how old I am. But luckily, Chad has given me the honor and privilege of speaking to you all this summer, and I'm so pumped. Little background on me. Born and raised in Newport Beach, went to Mariners Christian School growing up. Can I hear it for MCS?
I remember going there.
Yeah, there you go. From there, went to CDM. Can I hear it for CDM? Yeah. And then now I go to APU. Can I hear it for APU? You guys aren't in college. Come on. Okay, okay. Overflow. Okay, who here went to Overflow? Can I hear?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. Well, awesome. And so I will continue to tell more stories, and you guys will learn so much more about me as the next few weeks go on. But let me start off in prayer right now. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. I pray that you just speak through me, that you use my heart, you use my story, you use my words in order to speak to these people. Holy Spirit, please fill this room and just teach some lessons, Lord, because there's so many lessons that you can teach. We love you, Lord, and in your name we pray. Amen. So this series, it's kind of weird, but it is called Dunamis. Can everyone say Dunamis? Dunamis. And I will go through later in this sermon what dunamis means, but it is a weird word. Trust me, I know that, but it is a powerful word. Wink, wink. Powerful. But I want to start off talking about power. Now I want to talk about strength, and I have a way of demonstrating that to you guys. I'm going to just call the two most powerful people that come to mind to stand up, and when I say your name, just stand so everyone can see how powerful you are, okay? First person that I want to stand is one of the strongest people I know. Heavyweight champion. Well, not heavyweight, but lightweight champion of Overflow. Can I have Taylor Zellner stand up? Can we give her a round of applause? I've known Taylor for a long time. I've known her since long time. I actually went on a Hume Lake trip with Overflow when I was a freshman in high school, and she was there, and it's been so long that she doesn't even remember that. But I've known Taylor for a while. And the next strong person that I'd like to call is, can I get Tony to stand up? Tony, can you stand for me, please? Can we give Tony a round of applause? Now, I just met Tony, but, you know, he's a good-looking guy. That's what Jess told me. And he's a very strong man as well. And so what I would like you guys to picture is what I would do, but, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, is I always had these two do an arm wrestling competition to demonstrate strength for strength. Taylor versus Tony, power versus power. Yeah. It's going to be the battle of the century, better than, like, the Warriors and Cavs this year, even though that wasn't that much of a battle. But still, big time. We're giants. Okay, so I'm going to admit the battle might be a little uneven, right? But what if I told you every single person in this room is allowed to help Taylor against Tony? Now it's kind of, the scales have turned a little bit. Now Tony's strong. Look at him. He's got muscles. But Taylor has a power so much bigger than just herself. She's got so much more available. All she's got to do is tap into it. All she has to do is ask. You guys can sit down. Can we get them a round of applause? Thank you, thank you, thank you. So what I wanted to demonstrate right there, not much of a demonstration, but is that we have so much power available to us. Even though we look at obstacles that are so much bigger than us, so much stronger than us, and things that you think, wow, I can never conquer this, you're not alone. In this world that we live in today, a lot of people take pride in individuality. I can do it on my own. Mom, you don't need to do this for me. I can do it myself. Like, I want to do everything on my own. But there's some things that you can't do alone. And guess what? We actually have help, whether you know it or not. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. Yay. And so, there we go. So we will actually be talking about that helper, that power that we actually always have access to and we always can tap into. And a key is a lot of us kind of forget about that. Sometimes you can look at Taylor looking at Tony and be like, yeah, she's not as big as him. But some of you don't realize that, oh, she has access to everyone. She has access to a power so much greater. So, yes, that helper is the Holy Spirit, and that's what we will be talking about in this sermon series. So, what I would like for you all to do is open up your Bibles to Acts 1:8, and that is the first scripture that we are going to dive into. And while you guys are opening to it, it's in the New Testament, and this is some scripture where it is after Jesus has died. And what's happening in Acts 1, I'll just give you guys a little preface, is Jesus has already died. He's already died on the cross, and he has resurrected at this point. And he's walking around and talking to people. He's preaching to people. He's showing people his scars. He's saying, look, I'm alive. He is risen. I am risen. That's what Jesus said. Okay. Eyes on me if you guys have opened your Bibles to Acts 1:8. And would anyone like to read it for me? You want to read Acts 1:8? Yeah. All right, let's hear it. Right. Loud and clear.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be able to witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Okay, so what I want to point out to you guys specifically in this passage, what the heck is going on? So Jesus was dead. Okay, Jesus was dead. Like, dead. And now he's alive. Now, sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, oh, this is standard. Jesus resurrected. Jesus is good. No. Like, Jesus is I don't know. I just find that crazy. I don't know if any of you guys do. And Jesus comes back and he's speaking to these people. And he's saying, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, okay? Now, these people, this whole time while they were following Jesus, looked up to him. They followed him with everything. And they were willing to give up so much just to follow this man, give up their families, give up their lives, their occupation, everything. And then he's dead. And he comes back to life, and all he says is, not, yo, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be this dead guy walking around. He says, the Holy Spirit will come on you. Now, that's a little weird. These people probably have no clue what to do. They have no clue what's going on. Jesus refers to this Holy Spirit, and they're like, what the heck? Jesus, we want you. We've had you. Why can't you just stay? Why can't you show everyone your scars? But as we'll talk about later today, it's not that easy. In this verse, it speaks of power, this power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you guys want to write down your bulletins, the word power in Greek is dunamis. So, hey, that's why the series is that. But actually, fun fact too, this Greek word dunamis, that's actually where we get the word dynamite from. So it's powerful power. Fun. But so this power, though, the reason why we use the word dunamis is because it's this overwhelming power. In Greek, we have different words that mean different things. You guys have probably heard the word, like, agape love. So in Greek, there's, like, 10 different types of words for love, but agape is the most pure and, like, the love of God. It's an overwhelming, it's a love that we can't use for anything short of God because it's so overwhelming and so pure and so good. This dunamis is a power that is so overwhelming, so pure, and so good that the Holy Spirit possesses. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us that Jesus spoke about. This is something that we can tap into as well. And so them hearing this word dunamis, this power at that time, was crazy. It's them saying, it's Jesus saying, you have this godlike power that you can actually tap into, but I can't give it to you. I'm not going to be here. The Holy Spirit will be here for that. And so I just want to reiterate what Luke said earlier and go back to the fact that we will be using different elements in this series and things like that. And today is wind. And so we will be using different icons and things like that. And so this is our icon. It's pretty rad. I didn't design it myself, but it kind of looks like a cloud or God is blowing wind towards something. I don't know why I said that, but it was fun. But the reason why we are using wind today is because I feel that the Holy Spirit is a lot like the wind. One of the most powerful descriptions of the Holy Spirit, in my opinion, is actually of the wind. Because think about it. You cannot see the wind. You can feel the wind. You can see its effects. But you don't see it. It's something that you almost like just trust that people say like, oh, that's the wind. And you say, oh, sweet, that's the wind. Even though you have no clue what wind is. Did anyone actually know what wind is? Okay, we'll talk about that later, but it's okay. Biology people. But yes, its effects can be felt and seen just like the Holy Spirit. And we will go into that more. But also, I want to point out that the wind does two large things. It is comforting. Let's say, for me specifically, let's say I have a sunburn. I'll be sitting outside and I'll feel the cool breeze and be like, ooh. I'll do that again. Ooh. But the wind can be comforting. It brings coolness. It brings almost this ease, this peace. But also it's powerful. You guys, I mean, we've never had them here, but tornadoes, hurricanes. I don't know if you guys have heard of something. I don't know what age you start hearing it at. But erosion. Believe it or not, like wind, you don't see it. And even though it might be like a little bit, it blows pebbles off of mountains for years until the point where the mountain is like chunks are falling off and you're like, what the heck happened? And you can say, that was the wind over many years. So that's a fun fact for you. But basically, wind can be comforting and powerful. It's got so many different effects that work in its favor. And that's similar to the Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit can be comforting and powerful. And again, this is me dumping things on you right now because we're going to go so much deeper into it as the series goes on. But that's why I want you guys to keep writing in your bulletins so you can remember this stuff and look back at it later. So the wind is comforting and powerful. It's amazing. But next up, I would like to talk about who the Holy Spirit is and where the Holy Spirit comes from. So if you guys will turn your Bibles to Genesis 1, 1 through 2. I know a lot of Bible flipping, but we love the Bible, and that's why we're doing it. So, and when you guys find Genesis 1, 1 through 2, just look up here. Basically, in this passage of Genesis, it's the creation story. It is the beginning, and so we're going to talk about the beginning and where the Holy Spirit comes from, and I will read this one from my NIV Bible. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now a lot of people read that, and they overlook that little Spirit of God hovering over the waters part. You see, people think like, oh, Father, Son, God was there, nice. People kind of forget about the Spirit part. We always think of God as the creator, and Jesus came down and redeemed. But the Spirit of God was there. He was hovering over the waters. Now, I like to think of this little passage as like a, you know, like a little ghost hovering over the waters. He's hanging out. He's always there, just chilling. He's not creating. He's not the one that's creating the earth and shaping it. But he's there. And he's there for a reason. And I want to point out that that's because the Holy Spirit was at work in the beginning. You see, it's hard to see where the Holy Spirit is moving at times. It's hard to see exactly when the Holy Spirit was moving at times. But this passage clearly points out that in the beginning, there was God. And even though it didn't say it explicitly, just letting you guys know this is a teaser. Jesus was there too, but also the Spirit was there. And so the Holy Spirit has been at work from the beginning and will continue to be at work forever into eternity. Amen. And so I just want you to point out to you guys, Jesus was there, but just like the Father and the Son, the Trinity, they are eternal. The Holy Spirit will always be here. Even though Jesus was not there in Acts 1:8 when his disciples felt like they needed him to stay there after he resurrected, the Holy Spirit would be there. And Jesus clearly pointed that out. He said, yo, you guys have me now. You've seen me, but the Holy Spirit will be here. The Holy Spirit will continue to be here, and the Holy Spirit will always be here. And so don't lose sight of that. And so the reason why I want to speak on this series is because I forgot that. Is because going through Overflow growing up, going through Mariners Christian School, going through APU, it wasn't until this last year that I remembered, oh shoot, the Holy Spirit's here. I spent so much time focusing on Jesus and God. And Jesus and God are epic. And I feel like we talk about Jesus and God all the time because they need to be spoken about. But I want us to remember the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, I'm not here all the time. I need to leave, but the Holy Spirit is here with you. And so I want to have this series as a reminder to you guys of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, and specifically today we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. So, you guys might hate me for this, but one last time, I want you to go to John 16:7-14. This one is a longer one, so I will be reading it. So, in this passage, this is pre-Jesus' death. Acts is post-Jesus' death and resurrection. This is before Jesus' death. So, before people were scared and cowering and saw this resurrected body, Jesus gives the Holy Spirit a little shout out. He says, hey, I don't know, you guys might want to just, I want to preface with you that the Holy Spirit is a thing before I die. And so when I come back, when I reference to the Holy Spirit, just make sure you remember. And so I'll read this one. He says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove to the world, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment about sin, because people do not believe in me about righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. I'll read 15 as well. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and what he will make known to you. The word of the Lord. It's okay. Thank you. So, fun fact, normally when someone says the word of the Lord, the congregation says, thanks be to God. So I'll say it again, the word of the Lord. I love you guys, you're awesome. Day one, we're already learning big things. So, this is crazy. So I talked about after Jesus is dead, right? Acts 1:8, we talked about how Jesus is dead, and Jesus said, yo, I'm not going to be here, but listen to this Holy Spirit. This is pre-Jesus being dead. So he's like, hey, just so you guys know, this thing's going to happen, but I'm not going to be here. But listen to this. He uses the word advocate. Listen to this advocate. This advocate will act on my behalf. This advocate will bring righteousness. And then he starts by saying, it is for your good that I'm going away. Okay. Imagine if your best friend is talking to you and they, let's go mentor. And they just out of nowhere go like, hey, I need to go, but this is for your good. For me, if that happened to me, I would be like, what? Are you kidding? You need to be here. I need you. You've guided me. You've hooked me up. You've been awesome. You introduced me to my wife. Not wife. You are amazing. You've helped me so much. Jesus says this to his disciples. It's a confusing moment. It's very weird for everyone. But I don't want you guys to forget that he said, this is to your advantage. And the way I want to illustrate this is going to sound absolutely like the best day ever. But imagine that your mom walks around school and does literally everything for you. My mom's back there, so I'm going to pretend she's right there. But I'm going to pretend that my mom is literally doing everything for me. And I'm walking around, and I'm just like, yeah, look at mom, let's go. And I'll just be like, that's my mom, that's my, and I'll just sit here and hang out, and I'll just stand in the background and be like her ultimate hype man and be like, you guys know my mom? She's pretty chill. You should listen to her. She's got great advice. She makes good brownies. She's cool. But the day my mom leaves, I've got nothing. I'm literally like, my mom's not here anymore. What do I do? How do I make food? How do I make my mom's brownies? How do I do math? My mom's literally done everything for me. And this is what is happening with Jesus. Okay, Jesus has been guiding the way. He's been such a good example. He's been representing so well for all of these disciples. And then he says, hey, I need to go, but trust me. This needs to happen. This is for your advantage. Okay, and the reason behind that is because the disciples can't branch out past Jesus. If Jesus isn't there, if Jesus is still there, like me with my mom, I'm going to sit there and be a hype man for my mom for the rest of my life. And I'll stand behind her, but I'm only going to be behind her. And that's it, because I'm comfortable there. I'm super stoked hyping my mom up because I know she's doing great things. And because I'm supporting her, I don't need to do great things. It's so easy. It's great. My mom's a legend. I can do that for the rest of my life. But when Jesus left, guys, his disciples had nothing else to do but do what Jesus did. It allowed Jesus' ministry to multiply, like it said in John, and spread to the ends of the earth, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Sorry, that was an act. But without Jesus leaving, that couldn't happen. And so, you know, I just wanted to bring up Jesus right there, that's all. But the significance of the Holy Spirit in those moments, the reason why Jesus brings up the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit can be present everywhere. Jesus was one person. Jesus walked around and he preached to people, and Jesus was great. But the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. He can be in you. He can be in me. He can be all over the place at once. But Jesus was one person. Okay, so imagine that. Your MVP of the team, the legend is leaving, but a new legend arrives, an unspoken hero, someone that people literally don't see. It's kind of hard because people want an MVP. People want a beacon of headlights to guide them down a dusty road. But that's not the way this worked, because the Holy Spirit moves in different ways. So a big thing that I want to talk about now, we just got done speaking about who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit works, but I specifically want to bring up what the Holy Spirit does. You guys have probably been going to Christian school, has been going to Overflow for a while, but can I get a show of hands who like legitimately knows like what the Holy Spirit does? One. Okay. Well, here we go. That makes me even more excited because that is why we're going through this series. The Holy Spirit convicts people. Okay, have you guys ever, here's an example. Have you ever looked at a cookie jar and been like, I really want one, like so bad, but I really shouldn't, but I want to, but I shouldn't. And maybe you tiptoe over, but don't actually end up touching it. That's probably someone who told you don't touch the cookies, but that's similar to how the Holy Spirit acts. Sometimes you get these weird reactions, maybe things that you've never even been exposed to, and you're like, I don't know if that's right. The Holy Spirit convicts people. It makes people feel a certain type of way. And sometimes you don't understand it. Sometimes it's hard. But the Holy Spirit has the power to convict people. And that actually happens with Christians and non-Christians alike. Next, I want to talk about, the Holy Spirit comforts. It's already up there. The Holy Spirit comforts people. And I just want you guys to know, life is uncomfortable, and ministry is uncomfortable, and following God is uncomfortable. This type of comforting is so different. I love my mom. I'm going to bring up my mom again. The way my mom comforts me, she doesn't comfort me so that I'm always safe. My mom doesn't always comfort me so that I'm happy all the time and life is totally perfect and nothing will ever go wrong. My mom comforts me because she loves me. And my mom comforts me so that when something bad happens, I can trust her. I know she's there for me. I know she's always got my back. Life's hard and life's always going to get hard, but the Holy Spirit will comfort you through those things. The Holy Spirit comforts people and it's amazing. It's like a mom, except much more powerful, like the dunamis kind of powerful. You guys get what I mean? You should get what I mean because I just talked about it earlier. Last but not least, it's already up there, but I would click the button so it shows. The Holy Spirit contributes, and we will talk about this so much more in later weeks. All of these we'll talk about more, but this is an intro. You guys have probably heard of the fruits of the Spirit, right? It is love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness too, woo, and it's self-control that helps us to please the Lord in all we say and do. Thank you. So the fruits of the Spirit, believe it or not, those come from the Holy Spirit. I know, right? Crazy, fruits of the Spirit. But also, I don't know if you guys have heard of something called spiritual gifts. There's spiritual gifts of prophecy. There's spiritual gifts of healing, of speaking in tongues. Craziness that actually the Holy Spirit empowers certain people to be able to do. And that's something that we will, again, talk about in later weeks. But three big things I want you guys to remember, for sure write down your bulletin, about what the Holy Spirit does is he convicts, comforts, and contributes. Can you guys all say it with me? The Holy Spirit convicts, comforts, and contributes. Wow, you guys are so great. So wrapping up this sermon right here, I want to first talk about how there are different levels of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. Again, this is an intro. I'll say that again. This is an intro. I just wanted to introduce you guys to the Holy Spirit. This is my good friend, the Holy Spirit. Take a photo. Okay. I wanted to introduce you guys, but there are different levels of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. Obviously, there are some people that know a lot and just have studied the Holy Spirit and read all these books and done all these things. Some people know absolutely nothing, and that is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's some people that are in the middle that kind of know the Holy Spirit. They've heard of the fruits of the Spirit. They know there's God, the Son, in the Holy Spirit, but that may be all you know. It's just that the Holy Spirit exists in some sort of way that doesn't make sense to you at all, which is totally chill. But what I want to challenge you guys to do is please keep coming on Sundays, because this is where we're going to go deep into the Holy Spirit. Again, for the 30th time, this is an intro. And in the next following weeks, we're going to go so much deeper into who this Holy Spirit is, what he does, and what we can do about that. Please keep coming on Sundays. We're going to keep talking about this. But what I want to finish with is a personal story of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want you guys to get to know me a little bit. And also, feel free to ask me any questions after the service as well about Chad, about Lexi Johnson, and about Nicole Fry and Luke Seidman, or about myself, or about Jesus. Honestly, ask me anything. I'd love to get to know you guys. But growing up, I loved soccer. Can I get a show of hands of who plays soccer? Okay, so there's a few people that have played soccer before. Basically, I was a soccer player for a long time, and I was super, super passionate about it. I wanted to play soccer in college. I was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't like the greatest ever, but I was pretty good. I played all the time, and I committed my life to it. I even made a video. You guys could find it on YouTube. It's still up there. It's pretty funny. But I made, like, a recruitment video and all this stuff. But one day I was playing a club soccer game, and, you know, I was playing, and I played center back, which is, like, a very – you're the last line of defense, but I was a really small dude. Imagine me, like, here, and I'm still just as skinny as I am today, and I would, like, deck people. I would, like, run full speed and go, like, poof, and it was crazy. But one day someone was not happy about that, and they clipped my legs, and I fell on my back, and the next morning I wasn't able to walk. I remember, and my mom probably remembers this too, I actually tried getting up out of bed, and then I rolled and fell on the ground, and I screamed, "Mom!" And I don't know if she came in the room, but I, like, somehow, like, got myself up. But soccer was my life. And in one instant, in one game, it got taken away from me. And that was powerful. That was some dunamis power right there. It hurt so bad physically, mentally, and emotionally. I even stopped going to Overflow, like, for a little bit of time because I just wanted to prioritize soccer. And it got taken away from me. Okay, that hurt. But looking back at it, the Holy Spirit was so present in that whole process. It's unreal, guys. So what happened to me was I actually started going through physical therapy. I had back surgery. If you guys want to talk about that later, go for it. I had back surgery, and I started going through physical therapy. And what happened was Chad reached out to me, started walking alongside me again. All my friends from church did not stop calling me, and they said, "Come to Grace. We want you. You haven't been here, but we want you. You are so loved. You are so needed. You are so important." And sure enough, I got better again, and then I quit soccer because I just wanted to be at church, and I just wanted to be loved by God and love God with literally everything I had in me, because that's exactly what God did to me. You see, in those moments, I was convicted. Through an injury, I was taken out. I had nowhere to go. I was hurting. And I was convicted to go to church by these people that reached out to me. I was comforted. I was given such a safe place here. It was unbelievable. My life was totally changed to the point where I couldn't get enough. Life hasn't been easy since then. In fact, my back still flares up. But I feel the Holy Spirit comforting me every single day of my life. And last but not least, He's contributed. He's given me a gift of being able to, like, tell my story with people. Okay, as hard of an experience as that was, my gift is I can share that with you. So if some of you might be injured, if some of you might be going through any hardship, or you might have an idol taken out of your life, I can say, "Hey, I know exactly what you mean. I've been there. It hurts so bad because I don't get to play soccer in college, but I get to preach to you." And so the Holy Spirit, even though in those moments I did not see it, the Holy Spirit was so present. And the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit was moving. And the Holy Spirit still continues to use me today through that experience. So another thing I want to challenge you guys with going into this week, up until next week, but also through the rest of your lives, is where has the Holy Spirit been moving for you? Where has He been convicting you, comforting you, and contributing to your life? So let me pray us out, and then the worship team will come up. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for just giving me the opportunity to speak to these students. Thank you for every single one of their willingness to come to church and just to give everything to you, God. Thank you so much for the ability to preach on your word and to take the lessons that Jesus taught and the words that you breathed into this book, God, and for us to learn more about you, to learn more about the Father, the Son, and especially during this sermon, the Holy Spirit. I pray that you just continue to move throughout the rest of the sermon and throughout this rest of this week and throughout the rest of our lives, and that you show yourself, even when we don't want you to be there, God. We love you so much, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.